Good morning, Florida Town Baptist Church, family and friends. It is good to have this time with you again today. I know many of us are hoping that we'll be into a regular service pretty soon, and I want to encourage you in that way to think about the time when we will be together again. It should not be very much longer. I have been talking to a few people, and most, it looks like, are planning for the 17th, tentatively, at this point. So, mark that date. I'll be talking with the deacons this week to officially set a date on a calendar that we will hope to meet, and we'll go from there and let everybody know. And please remind your friends that we are here on the website. They can hear this service. I'll be sending an email to you with the link. I'll be providing the link on Facebook, and you'll be able to share that as well. It is good to share the good news of Jesus Christ with as many people as we can, and I encourage you to continue doing that. And speaking of the good news of Jesus Christ, this morning I want to talk to you about how wonderful He is to us. And I'm going to be reading to you from Luke chapter 5. I'll be picking up where we left off before we started with this pandemic. Starting right there again in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse number 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up from them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Father, we thank you again for the time we have, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of love and mercy and grace upon us. And Lord, we cherish the time we have with you. We cherish it when we can share together our time with you. And so we ask, Lord, that we can be crowded together again, as we have been in the past and will be, Lord, again, we know, but we ask for it soon. Even that we are so crowded that people find it hard to come and to spend time in your presence. Because, Lord, we know when we can have you before us, wonderful things happen. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we are. We know this story, how people would come to Christ and bring family and friends and they would be healed, or how Christ would be walking through an area and people would be healed, and so many different ways that people came into the presence of Christ that were healed, and the wonder of all that had happened and how they praised God and lifted up their voices in a hallelujah praise for who God was. What a wonderful thing it is to see people rejoice in what God has done for them, especially when He has done some mighty works for them. But there is something that is at the very end of this passage that I want to begin with. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and others, we can assume by this passage, had something to say. It was this: we have seen strange things. I wonder if you have ever seen anything that you would call strange when God was working. When you saw some movement of God, did you consider it strange? When you saw some healing in someone's life, whether it was a healing from emotional distraught, whether it was a physical healing that no one thought would happen, did you see something strange in that? Did you see something strange happening in the people around this individual? Because this is how it's described in this event. We have seen strange things. And I wonder, when we look through this passage, what it was that they might have called strange. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind when I look at this passage there in verse number 19, it says, when they could not find a way to bring their friend into Jesus, into the midst of Jesus, because the crowd was so large that they did do something that many might consider strange. They took their friend lying on this mat. They took him to the rooftop. They dug a hole through the roof and they lowered their friend into the presence of Jesus through the roof. Now, I have to be honest, I would consider that strange. Especially if I was the homeowner. And in our day and age, if someone starts digging a hole through the roof to get in, what are we going to do? We're not just going to think that it's strange. We're going to probably take some kind of action. We're going to be calling the authorities. We're going to be preparing to defend ourselves. We are going to do a number of things to protect ourselves, to protect our families, to protect our property. But this was entirely a different kind of situation. There were lots of people already here. Jesus was teaching. There were even Pharisees and Sadducees, and they had come from all of the towns around, and they were sitting even in the presence of Christ. They were listening to his teaching, and then sitting there, they saw someone digging through the roof to bring a friend into the presence of Christ. I might consider that strange. But under those circumstances, I would sit there and watch too to see what was happening. Because it's always interesting when someone is brought into the presence of Christ. We find it everywhere in Scripture. Something wonderful is going to happen. These teachers of the law, they weren't just there because they happened to see people gathering either, you know. It says they had come from all the towns around. The word was already spreading about Jesus. That's why there was so great a crowd as well. Everyone was coming to see who this man was. Even these friends took the burden of carrying their friend and coming through the roof because there was no other way. You know, sometimes we must work to get our friends into the presence of Christ. A lot of digging, a lot of lifting, a lot of strenuous activity, even if we transfer the thought of it physically in the presence of who we are and with the help of other friends, we can also think of it as spiritually, just on our own, striving with God on behalf of a friend in prayer. Sometimes it takes work to get those we love into the presence of God. And I can promise you there is a great multitude, even spiritually, that are standing in the presence of God. And we must continue to push our love and our concerns to Christ for those who are our friends and family. It's always work getting someone to Christ. But it's always worth it when Christ sees them. But what's amazing is these people, in the physical sense, lifting their friend through the roof into the presence of Christ, and Christ looking up and seeing this like everyone else. Once the man is there, he says, man, your sins are forgiven you. You have such great faith that your sins are forgiven. Now, there are people always questioning the things that Christ says or does, and even the healing aspects, they question that. But right now, when he says to this man, your sins are forgiven, he already knew that the scribes and the Pharisees and these guys were reasoning within themselves. Who is this man that can say your sins are forgiven? Because we know that only God can forgive sins. You know, this is true. And I think this is a wonderful point that we need to capture in this time. Jesus could have easily reached down and took this man by the hand and said, rise, take your pallet and go home. He could have easily just said and done this simple little thing and let the man exit with his praise. But he didn't. He said, your sins are forgiven. This brings those who are already questioning what Jesus is doing, this brings their attention to who he is. And this sharply brings their attention to what he is doing. The teachers of the law in particular had this question. Who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And yet he's telling this man his sins are forgiven. Now Jesus had their attention. Jesus had a way to reach them specifically. And you know, God is always about reaching us individually and specifically where we are, with our questions, with our doubts, with our concerns. And these who were teachers of the law, they needed to know who Jesus was. He didn't just reach down and take the man by his hand and pull him up. He took something in a moment that was going to capture the attention of these teachers and bring them into his audience in a way they had not expected. Who does this man think he is? Well, Jesus is about to answer. And he begins by saying it something like this, so that you know that I have the power to forgive sins. I say to you, now he's speaking to the man on the mat who's paralyzed, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. So that you know. Now everyone that was in this crowd would know Jesus had the power to forgive sins. Not just the common man or the common woman, not just children who might even be captured by the things that are happening here. These were men that taught and gave the law and the teachings of it and guided the Jewish people in life and said, this is right in the eyes of God and this is not right in the eyes of God. Now they were standing in the presence of God himself, doubting who he was and what he was saying, even saying in point that this is blasphemy to say that your sins are forgiven. Because only God can forgive sin. And Jesus took them in that moment and said, now I am going to show you something even more wonderful than you thought you might see. So that you know. Let's remove the doubt. Let's remove your doubt. Let's remove your concern. And let's put all of this into perspective. I am who I am. And he said to the man, arise, pick up your mat, and go home. And when the man stood and grabbed his mat and left, praising God, these teachers of the law knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus was God. Why do you suppose they had a hard time convincing others? Why do you think they had a hard time even convincing themselves, though they had seen this wonderful act of kindness and grace, mercy and healing? Why do you think people even today still doubt when they see the wondrous work of God in the life of others. You know, we can make the point that everyone there was impressed by this action. There was a wonderful thing that happened in the hearts of everyone that saw it, and a wonderful thing that happened in the minds of everyone that saw it. But even so, some were troubled over it and questioned it still, and walked away without fully believing or giving themselves to the faith that this is a wonderful teacher, a prophet of God, one who is of God, one who is God in the flesh, one that can forgive sins. The man that was healed, he knew. He got up praising God and giving thanks as he left their presence. It reminds me of the psalmist when he writes in Psalm 103, "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." And we see even in this crowd that everyone was amazed and they were all filled with fear. But let's not forget the other words we find in Scripture. Isaiah 43, we find this: "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." And how wonderful it is, you see, in this day and age, when this man was paralyzed, everyone always thought he was suffering because of the sins of his family, maybe his mother and father. Maybe he had done something in life. He had sinned and God had punished him and paralyzed him. He had once walked, now he couldn't. His friends who knew him before wanted him to have his life back again, to be whole again. And so they brought him into the presence of Christ. We don't know how or why the man was paralyzed. I can tell you this. I know that he was healed. He was wonderfully healed by the faith of his friends and by his own faith to be lured into the presence of Christ, digging through the roof and being healed. He got up, he took his mat, he walked away praising God. He didn't walk away and fall down when he left the presence of God because he was paralyzed again, as though his sins were remembered. You see, God says, "I will not remember your sins." This man was healed. Do you know that when you are forgiven of sins through your faith in Jesus Christ, these sins are forgotten? They are removed. They are thrown away from us to the furthest place that they can be. They are in the tomb where I won't be found. God does not remember our sins. And if you read a little further on into the book of Luke, you'll find in chapter 7 that as Jesus continued to move and teach through the cities and the villages, that fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying this: "A great prophet has risen among us, and even this, God has visited his people." God has visited his people. Yes, even some of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, even some of their ranks, they knew who Jesus was. They weren't afraid to say who Jesus was. Mostly you found it among the common men, though, the common folk, if you will, clamoring about to see Jesus, to be healed by Jesus, and to praise him for the things that they received, for even the things that they saw happening in the lives of others. And that is the wonderful thing about being born again, being new in Christ. It's not always about what God is doing for us specifically, but what God is doing for everyone around us. We love when we see people healed in Christ. We love when we see people born again in Christ. We rejoice with them and we celebrate with them. And we continue to tell others who have still hesitated in coming to Christ. Because we know they need Him as much as we ever did. Strange things they saw. The only thing I would think is strange is people walked away without believing. I mean, fully believing in Jesus Christ. It's not strange to see friends helping friends. No matter what kind of task they take upon themselves to get their friends in the presence of Christ. Digging through a roof, lifting in prayer every day. These are not strange things for people who know Christ. It's not strange to see Jesus forgive sins and to heal people who are sick, even bedridden, facing cancer. These are not strange things to people who know Christ. But what is strange to people who know Christ is this. Those who still will not believe. Even if they have witnessed with their own eyes the wonder-working power of God. The strangest thing of all, they walk away reasoning on why it could not be a supernatural thing. Why it could not be God. My friends, while we still have time, all of us can find ourselves in the presence of Christ, not just to watch what happens in the lives of others, but to experience what can happen in our own life. Healing of our soul and our mind and of our bodies. To be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. To find hope in a world that is so depressed. We still have time. It's not strange when you see it happen. It's wonderful. And God wants wonderful things in your life. If you don't know Christ today, why not? If you have not had the wonder-working power of God upon you and changing you and healing you, why not? Why not today? God calls each of us through His Son Jesus. We can stand and listen. We can read. We can see it in the lives of others. But it's not ours until we turn our eyes upon Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Help me, heal me, make me new again in you. Believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is the promise of Christ. I present Him to you, not as someone who does strange things, but as one who does exactly what is needed. Wonderful things, powerful things, miraculous things. And yes, even for you. If you will come. Father, I thank you that I did come. I thank you for those that I know who have come. And Father, I thank you for those who I know will come. Father, strengthen them even now to turn to you and to find their peace and their healing in you. And keep us safe. Watch over us and strengthen us for the days that we are in. That we honor you with our words and with our deeds as you have honored us. We love you. We thank you for loving us. And we praise you for your goodness. We give thanks to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.